the resurrection. First, I got to be gloomy, okay, before I get to the good part, so bear with me. But, you know, what is 60, 70, 80 years, you know, compared to eternity? I mean, when you think about how long things, you know, have been around or, you know, and those kinds of things, the lifespan that we are given is pretty pathetic in some senses. Your lifespan isn't much more than a firework in a night sky. I mean, one moment you just spring out of darkness. You don't know how it happened. You just found yourself on earth and alive and whatever. And so one moment you spring out, and then there's this short ride, and then it's over. But the thing about the being part where it's over forever. One short life in all eternity. That's all you get. You're given a brief millisecond, and then it's over. It's as if your entire life is confined to crawling around on a grain of sand. I mean, even the whole earth itself is so insignificant in all the creation, all the universe that's out there. You know, it's just one little tiny particle of sand, and when we appear for this brief little moment, we get to crawl around on this grain of sand. The sheer volume of what you will never see is unimaginable. You won't even get to see much of what's on this grain of sand. And that's if you spend your life traveling outside of everything else that there is. The sheer volume of what you'll never see again, like I say, it's just mind-boggling. When you're young, I mean, you don't think about the brevity of your life very much, but I mean, because you think it's going to go forever. When you're young, life seems forever, but when you get older, I can speak from experience, you begin to contemplate being mortal. And you know, we're told about God, or at least I was, from a very young age, and you know that he's the creator and such, but our existence is impossible to understand. I mean, when you try to think about it, you know, I mean, how we got here and the things we do and why things are the way they are and all that, I mean, it'll drive you mad trying to get hold of it. Why are we like a bunch of little ants running around on this grain of sand building highways? We build them so that we can build more of them. And then we pass on, we die, and then we leave it to others to take over building highways where we left off. And all of that effort isn't even noticeable, isn't even a noticeable event in all the universe. The whole effort, the whole humanity can't be seen by anyone. If there were a million worlds out there that are exactly like ours, with people on them just like us, doing the same things that we're doing, in all of our looking, we can't see one of them. And so it's like everything we have done in all of our existence is for nothing. That's how insignificant we are as a world. Our total combined history and existence can't even be spotted from someplace else. And each of us is not even a peanut in our own world. And it's just maddening to think about it. And you know, we awake with breath, and then we breathe until we cannot. And you know, we're given this one little moment, this one shot, and then it's over. You don't get to choose the time that you appear. You know, I've flown in a jet. And I saw men go to the moon. Some people have never even seen a light bulb. How'd you like to have lived in their day? They never even imagined an airplane. They may have dreamed of flying like a bird, but they never conceived of a device to do so. And what things are going to come after we're gone? How many things will we never see? You don't get to choose the place. Some people are born into slavery and they never knew anything else. From the time they were born to the time they died, that was it. Served some slaveholder in one place forever. Some spend their whole life being abused. Others are born in a palace and never know a need. You get your moment, and then it's gone. No do-overs, no second chances, no second times around. You don't get to do it again in all eternity. We're not even a firework. We're not even a discernible spark. We're nothing at all. And so regardless of where or when you came to life, there is a one common place where our life ends, and that's the grave, and then you get to be there forever. And it's not just a moment. It's forever and forever. And so the life that you get to experience, the time that your eyes are open and you get to see and be a part of the world and existence, that's just this little spark. But your goneness is forever. The more highways we build, the bigger the questions become. And why can I open my eyes and see for a moment only to close them and never see again? Why is life so short but death so long? And at the exact right moment, God sent a man to earth. He sent a man right before we became completely insane about our spot in creation. God sent us a message. It was good news. It was too good to be true. And that message proclaimed that we would be raised from the dead. That death would be for a moment, but life would be forever. What a sound. What a difference. It was too good to be true. It was too good to comprehend. And of all the things that God has promised us, the promise of the resurrection is the one that makes a difference. And that's the promise that keeps our sanity. Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17, verse 18. It says a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. And some of them asked, "What is this babbler saying, trying to say?" Another remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." And they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. That was the message that changed the world. It changed the prospect of our doom, our gloom, our completely helplessness, this thing that drives us nuts. How do you deal with a life that is so short and a darkness that is so long? Acts 17, 18. It was nonsense. And who could conceive it? I did read that, right? Yes. And the good news had many elements to it. It was good news that the kingdom of God is good news. The kingdom of God has come to humankind. God came down to be with us. That's good news. It's good news that God made one lasting atonement for mankind's sins. That was good news, past, present, and future. It was good news that the promise of God have become ours. It was good news that God gave us His Holy Spirit, that He comes to make His home on the inside of us. God in us, that's good news. But what counts, the significance of all that good news, is what it accomplishes for us. The thing that fixes this problem we have of having a minuscule window to see before we are confined to an eternal darkness. And it's that we will not become immortal forever, but that we will become immortal. We will be raised from the dead. It isn't lights out forever. I don't care how crazy it is that we spend our time building roads so that we can build more roads. It doesn't need to make sense to me, this life, or why it's this way. Let's go build roads until there are no more places to build them, and then we can tear them up and we'll start over. Doesn't bother me a bit. I'm not depressed at all. I'm excited. Because what counts is that I will be raised from the grave. That I'm not going to just get this one little brief moment in this one little tiny lifespan and get to see so little of all that exists, only to be confined to an eternity of darkness where I'll never see again, never breathe again, never comprehend. I mean, just to be gone forever and ever and ever. I'm not confined to one moment and then the lights out forever. I mean, it's all shout for joy. It's the complete opposite of that. I don't need to understand anything except that I will share in the resurrection of Christ. That's good enough for me. What roads do I need to build? I'll build them all day and every day gladly. It's the fact that I get to share in the resurrection of Christ. That's what gives me hope. And hope gives me faith, and faith does not disappoint. It's the resurrection that brings hope to a broken heart. To the despair, to that dread, that sense of hopelessness that kind of settles on us. Sometimes we don't even know where it comes from. We don't know why. Sometimes we lie on our beds and we can't sleep. And other times we panic, it takes hold of us. It is a resurrection that brings hope to a broken heart. It's the resurrection that brings meaning to meaninglessness. It's the resurrection that lifts the weight of depression and despair off our lives. John chapter 11, verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe that? Do you know why we fall asleep every single night? You know, we always ask, why did God do things certain ways? Why do we have, you know, night and day, and you know, who imagined all of it? Why, you know, we can ask ourselves why till we go nuts. I'm going to tell you why we fall asleep every night, why the night comes every night. It's a sign to believers. It's a sign that we will not sleep forever. Every morning is a testimony that the resurrection is coming. Every morning is a picture of the resurrection. We are reminded every 24 hours that life is coming. It's coming to you. And that's why we should celebrate the morning. It's a letter from God announcing that night is not going to last forever. That you're not going to go to the grave and be in darkness forever. The sun's coming up. And that's going to be forever. I'm not going to lie to you. Death is coming to the world. Unimaginable death. And the night that comes every 24 hours is a reminder that death is also coming. It's coming before the morning. but not. It's not yours. Not a reminder to you that death is coming. You may appear to sleep, but for you, your story is morning. The morning is our story. Eternity with God is our story, not eternity in the grave. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 22 says, "Before our eyes the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his entire household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land of he promised on oath to our ancestors." See, the night may be coming, but God has promised us morning. He's promised us that the lights, our eyes, are going to open and they're going to stay open forever. Not the other way around. Plagues are coming upon the world that are greater than those that came upon Egypt. Signs and wonders, great and terrible, will appear. The world will see night coming. But we should see morning coming. We should understand that after the night, morning comes. And it's the morning that's our time. It's the morning that belongs to us. Not the night. To us who believe, the night that is coming means that our eternal inheritance is almost here. When the sun comes up, it'll be finished. And we'll be standing in glory. With no longer any fear that darkness will overtake us, or that harm will come our way, or that disappointment will visit. But we need faith and patience to reach our morning, to come to that place. In 1 John 4:17, it says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment." When the night comes to the world, God wants us to be a people of confidence. He wants us to know that the night is not for us, that the morning coming is what's for us. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. The coming wrath is not our destruction, or for our destruction. The judgment that falls on the world is not for us. God wants us to be confident. He wants us to be excited. You know, He told us these things. He shows us it every 24 hours. He wants us to be excited. He's coming with His reward, and our eyes are going to be opened forever. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immorality, he will give eternal life." I didn't say anything to them about being perfect. It just says what they seek after. It isn't the mistakes a person makes daily that dooms them. You know, we're all forgiven for that. We talked about that. Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. He's not mad at us. Jesus loves us. He died for you. It isn't our flesh being stubborn that dooms us either. It's irredeemable. No one can tame the flesh. The best we can do is kind of tie it up and keep it out of our way. Our flesh is stubborn. Jesus understands that, and He's forgiven us for that, and He's got a new body planned for us. What dooms us, it's the stubbornness of an unrepentant heart that aims a person towards destruction. There's a difference between a person who wants to do right but is hindered by the weakness of their flesh and a person who is just evil in the heart. It isn't the evil in your flesh that brings night to your life. It's the evil in your heart. Jesus defeated Satan, but a stubborn, unrepentant people are giving power to Satan. And Satan is death. And he's not our friend. And those who give him power will not get what they want. They'll be destroyed by him. Night represents the reign of the devil. Every day night comes, and it's a reminder that's given to us every 24 hours that we need to be ready, that we need to be on our guard. We need to make sure that we're not part of the night. Night represents the time of Satan does his work. And I don't tell you all this to frighten you. I say these things so that we're not caught off guard. That we're not so puzzled that we don't think that God has left us, or that he's punishing us, or, you know, that he's mad at us. The night isn't coming to consume us. The night is coming in order to bring us the morning. So that we, though night will come for a moment, morning will come for an eternity. That's something to be glad about. How did the Israelites prepare for the night that was coming? The death angel was going to visit Israel. Even though they were going to spend the night right there in Israel with all those Egyptians and people, God gave them a way for them to live and to go through the night so that morning would come up for them. They put blood over their doorpost. The blood of Jesus is what spares us. It keeps us safe. And in the morning when the sun came up, not only were the Egyptians set free, But all the wealth that was stored up during the night was given to them. We need to make sure that we're ready and not caught by surprise by these things. The things that we've been warned about all our life, they're about to come true. But the saints of God are going to win. We're going to come through it. We're going to come through it shining like never before. It's wonderful. When the sun comes up, we're going to be standing in our eternity with all the wealth that God always intended for us to have. No longer will it be stolen from us and hoarded by others. Before our reward that comes in the morning, first comes the night, you know, and so we must be ready. We must be in Christ. Satan's reign is going to end once and for all. Praise God. Not only legally, but vitally. No longer will a person need to resist the devil because he's not going to be around to resist. No longer will a person have to stand for healing because there's not going to be any sickness there. No one's going to have to worry about paying their bills because there's not going to be any bills. No one longer will a person need to teach others about Jesus. We're all going to be in his presence. He'll be our teacher. You can get it right from the horse's mouth, if you so to speak. Maybe I shouldn't say that about Jesus. So my advice to you is, I'm just telling you, take a breath and realize that the symptoms of night that you're experiencing is going to pass. The morning's going to come up. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. So go build some roads. It doesn't need to make sense. Just go build some roads. It's what we do. But don't be consumed by the evil one while you're building those roads. Yodam, you're the meeting. I just encourage people not to be foolish, especially during these times. You need the church. And by that, I don't mean necessarily Abundant Life Family Church. I mean you need the people. You're not an island unto yourself. You're not that smart. Have a little humility to realize that God put a body around you for a purpose. He gave you arms and legs and all the things you have for a purpose. And so we need to make sure that we're utilizing the things that God gives to us, because that's how we survive the night. You need each other. It's a great time to be a part of the kingdom of God. It's a great time to be on the inside instead of on the outside looking in. It's a great time to be living, knowing that the sun's coming up. How marvelous it's going to be. once and for all. All the things that aggravate us every day and chip away at us, and the water torture, or whatever you want to call it, the disappointments, the heartaches, the death, it's all going to be done, and we're going to be in the day that we are made and created to be in. We're going to be home. We're going to be away from this, and there'll be a new earth and a new heavens, and it's going to be fantastic. No longer will you have this thing called death hung over your head, where lights are going to go out, and that's it forever. You got this one little short time, and now you're going to spend for eternity in darkness. Not going to be like that for us. It's an opposite story. That was a great message, the message of the resurrection. That was a great revelation to find out that, you know what, it's the opposite of what we thought it was going to be. Living without the hope of the resurrection, living out without the hope that you're going to have life for all eternity, that your eyes are going to be opened, you're going to be able to see. I mean, that is so encouraging compared to the alternative. And I don't know why anybody would forfeit their lives so that they can be a part of a eternal doom and darkness. And I pray that you won't do that, or that you don't have the desire, but that you'll desire to be a part of the morning, the day. And that you'll be smart enough not to take the bait of the one who tries to draw us into the things of darkness. Our purpose is to be here, is to be those witnesses, those lights. We want to get blood over the doorposts of as many people as we can. We want to get them into the kingdom. We want to get them safe. And so that when the sun comes up, they'll be standing there with us. How great is that? How great is that? You know, if you can just save one person, if you can help one person make it into the kingdom, you know, and you multiply the benefit to them for all eternity, how big a benefit does that become? Anyway, God is good, and I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you'll to live your lives for Jesus, and that you not waste your time putting your hopes in what is hopeless, that you don't put your dreams in the night, but that you put your dreams in the morning, that you set your direction steadfast towards the things of God, and you just don't let go. You just don't let go. There might be times you feel like letting go. You just don't let go. You just keep on keeping on. It's a wonderful experience to know that we belong to the kingdom of God.